ABC Sport.
This is AFL Sunday with Matt Clinch and Cameron Ling.
AFL Sunday.
On radio.
ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And take us with you.
On ABC Listen.
Look for the AFL button.
AFL Sunday for round three with the big news this morning. Confirmation the grand final will stay at 2:30 for 2026 and 2027 after the league found there was no compelling case for immediate change. To the on-field, North Melbourne's first win over Essendon in a decade was marred by an ugly incident with ruckman Tristan Cherry appearing to wipe blood on the face of rival Andy McGrath in the second quarter. The Bombers have now lost 16 games in a row as fans ponder a way out of the pain.
Chipped it over the top to Wardlaw. Running back to goal is Larkey. He's got Cherry further. Larkey marks. Plenty going on behind the ball. Larkey goes to the top of the goal square for Cherry. He's knocked down late and comped a bit too. From Pryor, he'll have the set shot from the top of the goal square. I mean, it should be marshed about 7 or 8 metres further because it should have been 50.
In basketball, we used to call that cherry picking. This is now sherry picking.
Well, he sherry picks himself a goal and he's going to go straight up to Jackson Pryor and tell him what he thinks of him.
The Cyclone didn't arrive in Perth, but Fremantle stormed clear in the second half to win by 60 points, booting 8 goals 16 to score 100 points for the third straight match. While the Tigers, they joined the Bombers as the two winless sides so far.
Tarazos handballs to Bolton, who kept running. He was under a bit of pressure, steps around Grill, kicks Fremantle inside 50, and Tracy takes the mark. In a pack of four, Tracy stands tallest.
His 12th mark and 6th mark inside forward 50. He's playing like it's a dry day where others are playing like it's torrential rain.
Stretch the margin out beyond 50 points. Josh Tracy delivers with his 4th goal and Fremantle continue to extend their lead.
And the reigning premiers secured their first win of the season by 33 points, Brisbane kicking 13 goals to 6 in the second half to add more misery to the Saints.
Saints under pressure trying to clear. Carroll can't link up with Wilkie. Cameron lurking, collects, goals. And the Lions have finished all over the top.
Hello and welcome to AFL Sunday on ABC Sport. I'm Matt Clinch. It's a rapid-fire show as we take you to the Adelaide Oval for Port Adelaide and West Coast at a hot 12:30 start, 9:30am in the West, ahead of Carlton and Melbourne from the MCG. And Max Gawn playing his 250th game. Three-time Premiership player, captain of Geelong. He is a legend of Geelong as well. Cameron Ling is with you once more for a Sunday morning. Welcome to you, Lingy.
Oh, hello, Clinchy. Great to be with you again. And good afternoon to everyone out there enjoying this beautiful day in Geelong. So you do get beautiful weather in Geelong. Don't let Thursday night fool you, Clinchy. It was cold and wet at the Cattery on Thursday night, but the sun is out. It is superb. Well, plenty to talk about in what our 25-minute show.
Yes.
I know we've got to get to Tristan Cherry in just a second, but we do love to start on a more positive note, a bit of a highlight. And I touched on this one a little bit last week, Clinchy. A bloke, I reckon, who I thought maybe just was going through the motions of a nice big fat contract at his new club, the Fremantle Dockers, for a year or two, is now back to his very, very best footy, and he's going to help drive that Fremantle team up the ladder. I'm talking about Shea Bolton. He had 32 touches and 2 goals last week. Kicked 2 goals against the Cats the week before. He was absolutely superb again yesterday with 33 touches, along with Sarong and Tracy leading the way. I love, 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 love watching Shea Bolton in full force.
Yep, good shout. 33 disposals, career high for him. And there was a nice slick pickup as he was on the wing, which sort of reminded you of what he is capable of doing in the middle of the ground. So it's an X-factor weapon for Justin Longmuir. If their forward line is functioning, and you heard Josh Tracy in the opener booting 4 goals, then they can play Shea Bolton further up the ground. Let us know your highlight of the weekend. 0437 774 774 is the SMS number. For me, Lingy, I'm going to go back to the events of Friday night and a young ruckman who had to buy his time with the Magpies. Got the opportunity from Craig McRae to play alongside Darcy Cameron, but it was the post-game where he was chatting with you guys and Steele Sidebottom, where all his mates had made the journey as well.
He lets rip from 49 out, hasn't got the distance, he's been marked on the line.
He's done it again.
Steen, if you don't mind. He dabs it through for his first goal. Welcome to the Magpie Army, Oscar.
New ruckman, tell us about him.
He was good.
Wasn't he? Fantastic.
Flyer spoke about it, and you know what, we're being seen in the VFL as well, but his centre bounce work's as good as any. And for him to get his chance after, 4 years of getting himself to a level that he's actually ready to go, when he first got there, he probably wasn't ready, but to his credit, he's worked hard. And I think he's learning off a bloke who's pretty good at his craft in big darts as well. So,
Still side bottom on Oscar Steen, 2022 SSP pickup. He's waited over 1,100 days to make his debut. His mates travel from Adelaide, from Sydney. They came from here, there, everywhere to make sure they were there, and they were in the room celebrating. But it was the combination that you heard there from Steel Sidebottom, Lee, that Darcy Cameron has been his number one fan and trying to show him the works as to how to be a ruckman and to capitalise with the centre ball up now rather than the bounce. And I can see a future where the two might play a little bit more together. And it's that perennial question at the moment with five on the bench, the ruck change rules. Do you play a mobile forward or do you play a second ruck? And maybe for the moment with some challenges around Jack Buller's form and Dan McStay as well, they found a bit of a compromise.
Yeah, I like it. It's a great shout-out, Clinchy. And you can see the jumping ruckman. And Mick Malthouse spoke about this a lot on Friday night. And he was worried for the Kieran Briggs-type ruckman, which was Steen's opponent in this game, the really strong wrestle one who can time his and almost take the body of the opposition with an arm and then direct it down. They're almost being phased out a little bit because of the new rules and the jumping ruckman. And that's exactly what Steen did. And some of the beautiful soft touches down to Dacos and Crisp and DeGoey and these types of players on the fly. Impressive to watch. It's a weapon for the Pies.
Yep, and his mates coming from here, there and everywhere. We did a road trip to Adelaide 1 year and had a mate who was playing in the Sandful, so I can just imagine the stories as they made their way back from where they came. The other news that came out this morning, Lee, is that Darcy Moore has suffered a hamstring injury against the Giants on Friday night, so he'll be out for up to a month after scans have revealed that. So it's been a frustrating period for him, sidelined with a calf injury in January. You look at Collingwood's run now with Scott Pendlebury as well, questionable. So the Brisbane Lions on Thursday night, Fremantle at the Adelaide Oval, the Blues, the Bombers, the Hawks, the Cats and the Swans in the immediate future. So those backline issues might not go away with Darcy Moore now set to miss a month.
No, and he was really uncertain, wasn't he, on Friday night? You could see that vision that we had in the rooms where he did a little kick and he was shaking his head and then he came back out. And so clearly there was awareness, there was something, and he wasn't sure about it. And now he'll start playing the mental games with himself. Am I just going to constantly have these hiccups? Is there always going to be an awareness and a nervousness around it? And to be at their best, they still need Darcy Moore because he's so flexible. He helps out. Jeremy Howe's the other one who does it superbly. But Jeremy Howe's also 36 years of age. Billy Frampton was brilliant on Friday night, but he's not an interceptor and a really versatile player. So they need him to be at their best, but they need him feeling good about his body and having confidence in his body, which he just doesn't have right now.
No, he doesn't. So a challenge there for the Magpies as they got the win on Friday night against the Giants. AFL Sunday on ABC Sport. Your thoughts on the SMS 0437 774 774. The big talking point this morning, Lingy, is going to be North Melbourne ruckman Tristan Sherry, who's been set to be sent straight to the tribunal. A possible multiple-week suspension after appearing to smear blood on the face of Essendon captain Andy McGrath. It was a moment of madness after a 100-metre penalty for remonstrating with the umpire. He was then able to push forward and kick the goal, but tempers became heated. How did you see the moment as it took place last night?
Really unfortunate. I don't want to see that on the field. And he was the emotion and fired up and plays with that real competitiveness, does Sherry. But it... when you lose control like that, you're only going to hurt yourself and your team. And obviously there'll be repercussions from this, and we can touch on it in a sec. Immediately, Clinchy, I've got to be honest, this sounds quite selfish. I just straight away thought, I'm going to get some text messages off mates here and a few comments about way back in 2002 when Nathan Buckley got a week suspension for wiping blood on my jumper and was involved in that. And the blow-up and the media frenzy that was around that incident, I thought, well, this is going to blow up into something pretty big as well. And it was that Nathan Buckley and my incident was the first time I'd ever experienced a media focus. I remember driving into training, parked in the same car park. You often see journos and cameras out the front, certainly back in those days. And I got out of the car just thinking, oh, yeah, usual media here. And then they all just came for me and rushed over. And I thought, what the hell have I done wrong? What did I do on Saturday night? I worried, but it was that first time there was this intense focus on an incident on the field, and I thought, okay, wow, that really blew up into something. I think clearly with Sherry now, that's going to be the case. He's until we get to the tribunal hearing, there's going to be a lot of focus on how big a punishment should it be, what should be the repercussions of something like this. So immediately I thought, this is a big story in the week of footy.
Yeah, so misconduct covers any act which would be reasonably regarded as unacceptable or unsportsmanlike, or where it had the effect or potential to prejudice the reputation of any person, club or the AFL, or to bring the game of football into disrepute. Having lived what you lived, did you think the act of Nathan Buckley in that time crossed the football line? And this is going to be the question around Tristan Sherry. Is it an unsportsmanlike act that deserves more than, let's say, 2 or 3 weeks?
Yeah, so can I go back to when I was young? So 2002, I was 21. I don't know, I'd played 25 games or something like that. I, back then, as a young, immature person, was like, what's the big deal? I knew what Nathan was trying to do. I knew that Nathan was bleeding. This was back in the real one-on-one matchup days. He was being sent to the bench for the blood rule. He's like, I want my opponent to go with me and not have an advantage by staying on the field. So he did it purely to get me off the ground. He didn't have any malice in it. He wasn't trying to do anything to me. It was just, I want him to come off. So in that moment, I was like, I don't know why there's such a big deal. And again, selfishly, Clinchy, I didn't want too much focus on how Nathan got blood on his face in the first place, because out of that incident, I ended up getting a 1 week suspension as well. But that's me digressing. So in that moment, didn't think much of it. Now I put my older, wiser, maybe sometimes wiser head on my shoulders and think, okay, we don't want this in the game. I don't want a young player that I'm coaching in the under 12s this season seeing that and thinking, oh, that's okay to do on a footy field. I don't want local football doing it. I don't want anyone else in the AFL doing it. So I get there needs to be a punishment now, as I look at it more from the lens of the overall sport of football. That act is not an acceptable act on the football field. When I was young and in the moment, I just thought, that's no big deal. Bucks is just trying to get me to the bench. So perhaps I've matured and learnt over time that there are certain acts we just don't need on the footy field.
So what would you be comfortable as a suspension in your mind?
Yeah, that's a really difficult one, Clinchy. I don't know what that number is. So Nathan got 1 week.
He got one, yep.
For me.
So 24 years on.
Yeah, 24 years on. What we've learnt more, what we don't want flowing down to the other leagues. Is it, I don't know, is it 2 or 3 weeks? Is it more, Clinchy? I'm not sure. I almost want to...
I think it'll be 3 to 5. I feel like it's going to be in that bracket, I think.
So 5 weeks is a huge hit. That's almost a quarter of the season.
We're giving 3 weeks for guys who are not executing sling tackles properly.
Yeah, okay. So that, but not executing sling tackles properly is potential for causing really serious head injury and harm.
But that's a football act. It's a tackle that you don't execute. Whereas this is a brain fade where you're... Yeah, in the eyes of the AFL, bringing the game into disrepute. So we shall see what they come down with on Tuesday and whether they decide to appeal. Unfortunately, it takes the gloss off North Melbourne's win, and had they won against the West Coast Eagles, they could be almost flying. But the other big story, Lingy, is going to be in the Bombers and where they sit at the moment. So the Dons face another difficult week heading into their clash against the unbeaten Bulldogs on Sunday night. So a loss there would see the club equal their worst ever streak of 17 back in 2016, where the Bombers were decimated by the drugs saga and the suspensions that took place. So for Brad Scott, it's a tough room to be in at the moment. And the question for Essendon fans is, how do we get out of here?
Oh, well, how do they get out of here? Because they're not going to beat the Dogs, are they? That is another loss. They were more competitive, Clinchy. You'd agree with that. But not the Essendon fans want to hear the more competitive thing. It's a long way out. Do I see a win on the horizon? Probably not. But also we know that on any given day, a team can stick its head up and grab a win. But it would be an awful place to be around right now, those rooms. I've played in teams that had, you know, a losing patch of 3, 4, 5 weeks in a row, maybe even 6 at one time. And you feel horrible. Every little thing you're worried about, and you just... You feel like you're being analysed everything you do by everyone, and you feel that spotlight on you. To then multiply that out, Essendon are a huge club, and now with the number of losses that they've had over last season and this one, it would just be a really ordinary place to be around as a player. But you got to grit your teeth and have the resilience to fight your way through that. And they took a little step forward last night with their competitiveness. But Essendon fans demand more than competitiveness, I reckon. They're not going to beat the Dogs, I don't reckon. But they need that win just to get some clear air, just something.
Bring some joy.
To grab onto. Yeah,
just something to lighten the mood, because it does feel pretty dour at the moment. Here were the thoughts of Essendon coach Brad Scott.
Look, they're doing their best. You know, there's no doubt that they're hurting, they're frustrated. I think that they are made of the right stuff. They're just, we're at a difficult juncture where, you'll probably want to talk about merit and well held tonight. And, you know, the frustration that I have is that we can't support him as well as we'd like to at the moment. So, you know, our leaders, they're doing their best.
Thoughts of Essendon coach Brad Scott. Your thoughts on the SMS, 0437 774 774. Nick from Bendigo, as an Essendon fan, watching senior players like Parrish casually jogging on defensive transition is infuriating. How do the kids learn with those frauds setting the example? So off the top shelf there from Nick. Also on the Tristan Cherry, bear in mind the blood was wiped on the skin. It's assault, which is coming through on the SMS, 0437 774 774. Bob says, was there definitely blood involved? And Guy says, two items. Cherry did the wrong thing. However, McGrath didn't have to go anywhere near him and provoke him. And how are Melbourne going to manage transition with Gawn nearing the end of his career? We might touch on that towards the end. And wiping blood on another person is a criminal assault in Victoria under Section 23 of the Summary Offences Crime Act 1966. That's from John in Coburg.
Well, that's a good point. We talk about, footy field, yes, there's contact and physicality and everything like that. But if it's a criminal act, it's a criminal act. I'm going to put my hands up. I have no idea how it's going to end up. I just don't know. And you're right, we're 24 years on from Nathan and I. It'll be interesting to see the way this one's handled, because do you take it off the field? Is it classed as assault? I just don't know at all, Clinchy, with this one.
I think the AFL will handle it internally, but they'll want to send a statement. Will be the curiosity as to how they do that. You heard from Brad Scott the reference to Zach Merritt, 10 disposals, 1 clearance and a goal. Finn O'Sullivan, who had a great game, 24 disposals, 3 clearances. So it's just the 6th game in Zach Merritt's career. He's had 10 disposals or less. A lot of those he's been the sub. So an upswing there for North Melbourne. Lingy, in terms of the other results from yesterday, Brisbane have got their season going against the Saints. It was great to see Kadeen Coleman back.
Yes.
I don't know if you want to focus on that more than Fremantle's big win in the West over the Tigers, but I sort of feel like Brisbane are going to be one of those sides that we're going to have to wait till the middle of the season to work out where they're going to sit this year.
Yeah, well, I think the Brisbane St Kilda game was probably a more consequential game, because it was Brisbane reminding everyone of why they've won the last two premierships. You know, Jared Berry's job on Naz and just being high quality, and the shared workload between him and Dunkley to limit, not completely nullify, but limit the opposition's best player. And then the Ashcroft boys go to work, and you said Kadeen Coleman, you're bringing him back into a two-time premiership team. But also St Kilda, perhaps again, just reminding everyone and themselves, they're a bit off the very, very best teams. You can see the improvement and where Ross is trying to take them, and a couple of acquisitions just trying to find their role within the team. But when the whips are cracking and you're against the two-time reigning champs, you're just not quite in that class yet. So not saying they can't be by the end of the year, but right now there's a bit of a gap, so they've got something to work on. So that game felt to me pretty consequential for both St Kilda and how far off they are, but also Brisbane is like, hey, we can still flex our muscles. We still have some great big muscles, and we can get a hold of teams around that middle of the ground whenever we want to.
Yeah, I think as well the tag from Jared Berry on Nasai Wanganeen-Millera, so that's what he's going to be used to for the rest of this season, and it was the blistering ability for Brisbane to score goals that shows you that when everything clicks, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. So they're the results from yesterday. I sort of feel like the most significant probably result, even though Collingwood's win over the Giants was important, but Geelong being able to do what they were able to do against Adelaide. The hoodoo continues on for another year for the Crows. Sort of feels like the Cats, important win for them to sort of continue to build towards being a top four side.
That's it was awful conditions on Thursday night. Clinchy, you, you got to see
that. We experienced it. Benny on the boundary lived it.
Absolutely. But you got to find a way in those situations. And I think Geelong did. I thought they dominated's not the right word, but I thought they controlled the game. They certainly lived with the ball in their territory. The Crows, to their credit, were so good and so desperate and brave in defence. They made it a game and could well have pinched it, which would have been a huge victory. I think both those teams are good. I don't know if they're top two good, but I rate both of them highly. Even at one stage, I said to my kids, despite the wet ball, Adelaide's ball use and kicking ability is able to slice and dice teams.
Yeah.
And you get them on a dry track, and with everyone back, they were missing some key players. Crows are good. Crows are good. I don't think we need to panic too much about them.
Yeah, Geelong won without Jeremy Cameron or Shannon Neal booting a goal. So I thought that was a good tip of the cap to them, and the Crows came finishing hard. We'd like to finish our Sunday program each week with Cameron Ling's last word.
Geelong Premiership player Doug Wade to present the Premiership Cup to Cameron Ling and the Geelong Football Club.
Blackie, toughest opponent.
Cameron Ling.
Ben Cousins. Toughest opponent.
Cameron Ling.
Dane Swan. Toughest opponent.
Probably Cameron Ling.
The hardest defender you've ever played on Bucks.
Cameron Ling.
Well, thanks, boys. I appreciate that one. This last word today, Clinchy, is, well, perhaps it's a little bit related to what we just heard there with the audio, is in about, I don't know, 15 years' time, when different ruckmen across the competition are asked the question when they're on various media programs across the nation, and they say, best ruckman you played against, best player you played against, best of opposition you played against, whatever the question might be. I reckon there's a whole lot of them from certainly this generation right now and over the last few years are going to answer Max Gawn. They're just going to say Max Gawn, Max Gawn, Max Gawn. 250 games today he plays, the leader of the club, the leader of the club, and is maybe, if he continues on, going to become a nine-time All-Australian. You start having conversations around Polly Farmer, and John Nicholls, and Simon Madden, and all of these true
Dean
greats.
Dean Cox, yeah.
Dean Cox, thank you so much, Clinchy. I always throw Brad Ottens in there because I'm completely biased. But those sorts of names getting thrown around, and you go, ooh, hang on. Where's Max Gawn going to sit amongst them? And after he retires, we'll be able to do it in reflection. He will sit comfortably in that conversation with those very names. He is an incredible footballer, an incredible competitor, an incredible leader. He'll have a big, big role to play today, of course, against the Blues, and he could send Carlton into the Good Friday game against North Melbourne in a world of hurt if the Ds can get over the top. But I just wanted to use my last word, Clinchy, to shout out the great Max Gawn, who I remember when my old teammate Shannon Burns used to work at Melbourne, he said this skinny, big ruckman was at the club, new to the Demons, and he was driving out of the club at training, and he had the elbow leaning out the open window with a cigarette in between his fingers, one hand on the wheel. I remember Shan saying, I didn't think that guy was going to make it as an AFL player.
Let alone be captain.
Yeah, he turned out all right.
Personal journey. We can all get there eventually if we're given a bit of time. A good shout to Max Gawn, who plays game 250 this afternoon. We'll be on air from the MCG just after 3 p.m. at the conclusion of the match between Port Adelaide and the West Coast Eagles. We're about to head next. The team is standing by. So a quick thought, Lingy. Port Adelaide looking for their second win under Josh Carr, or could the Eagles pinch one on the road? They only won one game last season. They beat North last week. How do you see it going?
Yep. Yeah, they were really good. I mean, I go with Port Adelaide. I think they're better, and the quality. Connor Rosie, that's a huge,
isn't it?
Huge blow, and devastating for the comp who loves watching him play. I'll still lean to Port, but I like the signs of West Coast. We've got a competitive, talented, just bringing it together West Coast. It's a slow burn. I'm not getting carried away. But at least now you think, we've got a game of footy now with West Coast. There, 2 years ago, there were some games where you turn up and go, oh, God, this is going to be awful. They're just going to get blown off the park. The signs are there, which is great, but I will steer towards Port Adelaide, Clinchy.
Yep, Willem Dersma, the number one draft pick. And, of course, Zach Butters taking over as the captain of Port Adelaide in the interim. Thank you, Lingy. We'll chat again next Sunday.
Thank you, Clinchy. All the best.
And let's take you across to the Adelaide Oval. Josh Franco, Rod Jamieson, Vicky Schwartz on the boundary, Tom Wilson, and Aaron Bryans is heading up our commentary team as Port Adelaide take on the West Coast Eagles.